You're listening to Polycast, an official podcast of the Bolton Civilization site. We're talking about Civilization Revolution. I am Daniel Quick, known as Dan Q on the forums, and I'm joined by Wetter Schneiders, known as Locutus.
Hi.
We are proud and pleased to be joined by community manager at 2K Games, Elizabeth Toby, who goes by 2K Elizabeth.
Hi there.
Rise from a peasant. Fight as a warrior. Explore new lands. Lead your civilization. Become the greatest ruler the world has ever known.
I'm Elizabeth Toby, and I'm the community manager at 2K. Originally, we were based out of New York City, and I started as the community manager when we created this position for the company in November of 2006. And we just recently relocated out to the West Coast in Novato, California, which is a little bit north of San Francisco. Right now, I'm working on Civilization Revolution as one of my main games, which is, you know, bringing all the fun stuff to the fans, giving you updates and contests and everything that you could dream of for a game pre- and post-launch.
So you're the community manager for Civ Revolution. Can you provide us with a brief description of Civ Revolution in your own words?
Civilization Revolution, to me, is the new console version of Civilization. It is not the next civilization. I want to say it's a sister or a cousin to the civilizations that we know. It's a really fast-paced, addictive game that you can play single-player or multiplayer on the consoles, which means PS3, 360, DS, over and over again. It's the same kind of civilization that you would imagine on a PC, but of course it's now on the console. Be able to do a game in one or two sittings rather than those huge epic ones, but without losing that joy and addiction of actually creating your own civilization and those epic battles of moving your armies across and, you know, wiping out your opponents. I want to also say that one of the great things about Civilization Revolution will be the multiplayer. I think that this is one of the best experiences that we're going to be able to have to actually connect with our friends without having to worry about whether you're going to set aside, you know, a whole weekend to play out a battle without losing any quality. And just as a personal note, since the builds became stable enough for me to be able to play on my 360 dev kit, I've been playing this game every day, at least one full game every day in the office for about the past 3 months. Still absolutely adore it.
Who do you play against? Other people in the office? Factions?
Well, right now, the games that I play every day are the single-player ones, which it either means that I am completely insane, which I would agree, but it also, I think, speaks to how different you can play this game. By cycling through the leaders and determining what kind of victory conditions I want, whether, you know, I want to take out all civilizations or have a cultural victory or an economic victory, this game is completely different depending on how you decide to play it, so there's no way you can get bored. And also, if you play it on some of the harder levels, the AI can definitely still destroy me if I'm not careful.
I can already hear some of our listeners asking, Elizabeth, when the game is released, will you let us play you?
Of course. That'll definitely happen. And I'm hoping that for, you know, that first week, I will be able to beat you guys until you guys actually get the hang of the game, and then I'm sure are far, far better than I will ever be.
All right, so all you people out there who don't have any friends, Elizabeth will be your friend and play Civ Rev with you.
Yes, and I don't have a PS3, but I have a 360 and a DS, so you'll be able to play me on both of those systems.
But not at the same time.
Yeah, that would be a little tricky. I'm good, but not that good.
So you're not just 2K's community manager for Civilization Revolution, from what we understand. You also oversee the Darkness and the Bioshock communities, the latter of which you have been covering since before Darkness and Civ Rev. What do you find to be the difference and similarities in covering these communities as a fan for the fans at 2K?
I believe that fan communities and community management isn't just pre-launch. I think that post-launch is just as important and probably more important than all of the pre-launch stuff that you can do. Because while people are very excited to hear about what's going to come, you know, the real support and the real fan interaction happens after everybody gets their hands on the game. So I don't believe that communities ever end. They get quieter, you know, in the months and months after release. You know, people may move on to their new favorite game, but definitely BioShock will be a community that I think I support for as long as there is a community, which hopefully is forever. The difference between the communities, I think, is obviously you want to focus on what the game is. So it's not like you can take a cookie cutter website or say, these are the updates that I always do, these are the podcasts that I always do, this is the screenshot that I will always give them, because you really have to tailor it to what the game is. And when you look at something like Civilization Revolution, it's about strategy, it's about, well, now the beauty of the graphics, it's about the replayability, it's about how new and innovative the different victory conditions are or the leaders. So you want to step back and say, as a fan, I'm interested to know what's new about Civilization Revolution, what is continued when you think about it in regards to Civilization 4 or civilizations that you love in the past, and what do I really want to know about this game to decide whether I want to purchase it or not, and to know how is this game going to be supported with downloadable content or games of the week after the game comes out. And then, of course, there's the fun stuff, like what kind of fan giveaways would I want? What kind of T-shirts do I want? What kind of Xbox 360 faceplates? And then you get to do all of that fun stuff. And just try and give the fans whatever you think would be most important for them to know about the game to make an informed decision. And then, of course, going on the forums and amazing fan sites like yours and asking, asking, you know, what do you want to hear about? The thing about community management is you don't have to dream it all up yourself because you have a whole host of people who are going to give it to you.
With these different fan communities that you cover, do you find that there are differences in the community itself? Are Civ fans different from BioShock fans?
Civ fans are a very unique breed. I think that you guys are the most in-depth fan communities that I have ever experienced. Obviously, Civilization is an established brand, whereas BioShock was pretty new. I mean, it came out of the thoughts of System Shock 2, so there were some fan sites already set up, but BioShock was a new thing, so that was completely different. But Civilization has so many fans who know so much about the game, so much about the strategy, so much about every single unit, and have so many unique playstyles that this kind of community is so in-depth and interested to learn and interested to ask questions and so well-informed about the game and ready to soak up any kind of information that they can get. It's a completely kind of interaction. I feel like I'm being thrown in with people who are so much smarter and more informed than even I am, and that it's always keeping me on my toes to get them the most important information that they already need, because they know so much baseline about Civilization that I don't have to, you know, tell them the basis of the story or the concept of the game. There is, especially on the 2K forums, people who pop in and see that Civilization Revolution forum, and they might be there for Darkness or BioShock and are pretty new to Civilization. So there are those kinds of people that I still get to talk to, but when I come onto your forum, I'm not going to be saying Civilization Revolution is a turn-based strategy game. You guys already know that.
You are no stranger to podcasts, starting with your guest appearance on the Rapture Gazette podcast last year. Is there anything on the following topics that you answered in it that you have changed or want to elaborate on since you recorded it? I mean, how you came to work at 2K, your general duties as a community manager with your favorite and least favorite part of the job, and the Cult of Rapture website. In particular, will there be a Cult of Sid site or something along those nature?
That's a very large question.
Yes.
How I came to work for 2K, for those who didn't listen to the Rapture Gazette podcast, is I was actually an avid gamer working in .com marketing, and Jason Bergman, who is the producer of this game, actually is a good friend of mine, and when they were creating the community manager, because I did a personal gaming podcast just for fun, because I was active on a gaming forum and website.
And still do. Right?
Yes, yes, still do both of those. The personal podcast right now is sort of on a hiatus just because I'm really slammed at work and barely ever in this state. But when I am, I record it. So he said, Elizabeth, you sound like you'd be perfect for this job. You know, you do a lot of community managing in your spare time just with these gaming people that you hang out with. Why don't you apply? I actually laughed when he asked me to apply because I thought, you know, a million people would apply for this job, and it's sort of not a job. It's kind of almost feels like it should be like a hobby or something that I should be paying someone to let me have the privilege to do. I get to do what I absolutely love and adore every day, which is interact with fans who are passionate about games, give them what they want the most of, think up cool things to talk about the game and celebrate the game, and obviously get to play these amazing games before they're released and give meaningful feedback, and to reach out to fans if they have feedback and say to the development team or producers, you know, hey, this is what's going to make this game more awesome. I want to say that it's a fan advocate job, and being a fan first above anything else, that's just sort of a dream come true to have that opportunity. So I think I've described my favorite things about the job, which is pretty much everything. The least favorite thing I think I've got right now is the fact that I have traveled to 3 different states within a month. There's a lot of travel recently just because there's so much hands-on wanting to go to conventions if a game's being shown or going to the developer because I'm very hands-on with their needs and with fans' needs and communication. I can't say that's really a downside. It's great to be able to travel and meet all these people and go so hands-on, but it does get tiring. But that's, you know, a very small least favorite, and I think it can also be seen as a positive. As for A Cult of Cid, I feel like you guys are the Cult of Cid, even if you don't have that name. When I was making my new business cards for moving out to California, I actually asked if instead of community manager, they could write cult leader on as my title, because I feel like if I do my job well, whether it's the Cult of Cid or the Cult of Rapture or the Cult of Civilization, I hope that's what I'm creating. I hope that I can grab old fans of the genre and new people and make them so excited that they would want to be in something like a cult. No, we're not going to be creating a Cult of Cid, mostly, as I said, because I think you guys have already done that, and I don't think that there's anything that I could do that might top those existing Civilization fan sites that are out there. I think my big duty is to bring you guys the information, the contests, and the fun that you guys really want. I think that you guys have made the cult thing happen on your own.
Whew, and excellent, respectively. So you mentioned traveling to 3 different states in the past month. Wow. So you are in frequent contact with the development teams, whether it's in the Civilization community, Darkness, or Bioshock. How frequently are you in contact, otherwise or normally, and how are they usually conducted? I think it's usually by email or phone or voice over internet protocol like we're doing here, or...
Yeah, well, definitely, I think, day-to-day, which I would say, you know, several times a week, if not daily, I'm probably emailing, you know, Dennis or Kelly or someone from Firaxis. They always help me get any assets or updates that I need. And by proxy, of course, Jason, the producer, who works in the same area as me, I obviously talk to him several times a day. So we're always in constant contact. I think that the development team is the most important part of the game because they're the ones who are building it and know the most. So we're definitely always in contact with them. I have many conference phone calls with them. And I think probably every 6 weeks or so is when I go and visit face-to-face. Stuff like doing the official podcasts, which aren't out yet but will be eventually, are things that I like to do face-to-face because it's easier. It's better if I go and shake the hands of everyone that I'm talking to. And I really get that flavor of what it's like to be in the studio and what they're working on right now and what's most important and what I should go and relate to the fans.
You've indicated in the past that you've been a Civilization fan for a long time. How were you introduced to the series and which games have you played exactly? And what's it like to now actually work on the game?
I was introduced, I want to say, maybe in 6th grade. I'm going to be dating myself if I give you an exact date. And I'm pretty sure that it was Civilization 1, the original one. It might have been 2, but I'm pretty sure it was 1. And I was over at one of my best friend's house, and she goes, you know, you really like SimCity. Do you want a game that's going to rock your world? And she turned on her Mac and started playing Civilization, and I was like, oh, my God. Give me these CDs or discs, probably, in those days. I'm taking this home. And until I got to buy it for myself, I was that person that, you know, how there would be those pop-ups that would be like, explain on page 68 what this unit is or something, and if you didn't get the question right, like, one of your units roaming would die. I had, like, a notebook that would write down all the answers until I finally went out and bought the game for myself. That was the game that made me demand a computer in my bedroom so I could play it till all hours of the night. And I have always bought every Civilization the day of their release and every expansion pack. And whenever I travel with my Mac, I have Civilization Warlords in permanently in the CD-ROM so that I can always play it if I have any downtime. So I guess tying into that, what is it like to work on the series? It's kind of a dream. I remember when Dennis, when I was there, I guess earlier this month, when Dennis went and had me meet Sid for the first time, I walked into his office not realizing I'd be meeting him right then, and I am so glad, because otherwise I would have gotten that, you know, that giddy schoolgirl, you know, shaking, like palms sweating, not knowing what to say to him. Because how do you meet someone who's, since you've been, you know, in middle school, has been your idol and you think is a genius? And what do you say to him? Hi, I get the pleasure of being able to work with you and speak with you and talk about this amazing thing that you're creating that I think is the most awesome video game ever. It's really a treat to be able to work on your favorite video game and know firsthand all the stuff that you as a fan would want to hear about.
World-famous game designer Sid Meier brings the greatest strategy game of all time to the next generation. Sid Meier's Civilization Revolution.
You're fighting a bit of an uphill battle as far as the PC Civ community is concerned. A number of people aren't exactly jumping up and down in excitement for CivRev just yet. How do you feel about that?
I think that all good things will happen in time. I think that we still have a while yet for people to think about and gather information and make informed decisions about how they feel about Civilization Revolution. I don't think that in the end it's going to be an uphill battle. I think that once, you know, we start getting weekly updates out there, people will understand really what Civilization Revolution is going to be all about. And if they own the 360 or PS3, whether they want to get that, or if they have a DS, whether they're going to want to get it then. I think that the PC community will realize that this game is a great addition to the Civilization family, especially for anyone who owns a DS, which I think there are a lot of PC players out there who do. They're going to realize how amazing it is to, you know, go on your lunch break and be able to play a game of Civilization Revolution, then close your DS lid and go back to work, do an impromptu party with some friends, or play it on the train going to work, or on a Friday night being able to have an epic battle on your television with four different friends. I think that it's going to be seen as something that's not replacing in any way a Civilization 4 or Civilization 5. It's just a new and a different twist on Civilization that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy when they finally get their hands on a little bit more information about it.
Well, I know in the little bit of time that I had to play the game when I was at Firaxis last fall that I was loving it, and I was a bit of a skeptic before I started reading about it, and still wasn't quite sure when I started to play it, and I'm still going through withdrawal, not having been able to play it for some time.
I have to say, I can't say that I am as good as I'm sure you are at Civilization IV. I don't know all the perfect strategy. I'm more of a gut instinct play and replay until you don't get killed completely. And I was worried about how they'd be able to encapsulate the feeling of the game in Civilization Revolution. And pretty much from the first time I picked up the controller and started playing on the 360, I was addicted. And it's a different game with the same feeling, but it's no less of a challenge and it's no less of an experience. I think that it's one of those things that you really have to, you know, start reading about the victory conditions and the leaders and the movement and the units to really understand why I speak about it so passionately, but it's the kind of game that you're not going to get tired of. I mean, as I said, I've been playing it for 3 months and I miss it on weekends when I have to go home and don't go into the office.
As far as building an audience is concerned for CivRev, are you aiming after the existing PC fans, or are you mostly looking to sort of find a new audience among console gamers?
I think there have been some turn-based strategy games before. I mean, one of the things that I'm playing on my DS right now is the new Advance Wars. But I do think that there is a lot of room in the console market, DS, 360, PS3, for an amazing, addictive, single-player and multiplayer experience of a turn-based strategy game. So people who are new to the genre or who like the genre but don't really know Civ, or the hardcore Civilization players of the days of the past, I think everybody can enjoy this game because I think there's a lot of different ways that you can play it depending on how you enjoy playing games. I do think that there will be some people who pick up this game not knowing a PC version of Civilization who will then be interested if they read anything about Civilization 4 or the Civilization 3, and who will probably, you know, download a demo or go out and pick up the game. I definitely think that there will be increase in the PC version for those who don't know about Civilization already, but I also think that this game is very much for the already established civilization Cynovic.
Okay. Increasingly, we see the community aspects of console games moving into consoles' private networks, such as Xbox Live. For a console-only game like Revolution, do you think there's still room for community building on the Internet? And what plans do you and 2K have for CivRev support on those closed channels?
I think that anywhere that there is a close-knit group of people, be it a fan site or if you congregate on the Xbox website, if there's a really great game out there, there will be a lot of people talking about it, and they're going to talk about it in the forum that they're most comfortable. So anywhere that there is an active community talking about Civilization, I want to be there and help give them the information that they're asking for and answer the questions that they keep asking about. I do want to build a very informative, non-marketing, updatable website that people can go to, the official Civilization Revolution community site, where you can always go, find out the latest information. But I always want to outreach to fan sites or, you know, anything like the Xbox Live network, because I don't need to bring a community to myself. I am the advocate for the existing community. So wherever you are, I want to be there. So I think that community building in as many different places on, as you say, the open internet is an excellent thing. And the more there are, I think that means the more successful my work has been and, of course, the work of the programmers has been, because I think that a game itself builds communities. And the more amazing the game, the more communities there'll be.
Okay, and more specifically, what are the plans for doing things on Xbox Live and things like that?
Usually I start out grassroots where, like I did with your forum, just jumping on and asking some questions and seeing about the interest. And depending on the interest, sometimes we'll partner up for contests, or I know with Bioshock I ended up running a weekly/biweekly Bioshock blog. I think it really depends on the interest of the community, whether they just want to hear about updates and then, you know, jump over to the site that has all the official updates, or if they want me to have a more hands-on dialogue with them. So it's really up to the fan sites and up to those communities as interest grows.
So in other words, if fans have some input, they should let you know, because you're not going to be able to read their mind.
Of course, yes. Speak up. Email me. Do whatever you want. Send me a private message. I'm always open for that.
And she prefers to receive her private messages at a poll. No, wait.
Join the revolution in a groundbreaking new civilization experience. Command your nation against history's greatest leaders and tyrants. Gain control of the globe through peace or military might. Clash with rivals and seek glory in epic multiplayer matches.
Moving on to some more general questions from submitted by users. From Banjo K asks, how many rivals are available in single player, and can you enable AI players in multiplayer?
I have to say, I forgot all of my cheat sheet notes with the latest updated information, so I'm not going to be giving you guys official numbers. You can have multiple rivals. I think we've got five right now, four or five, in single player that you play against. And in multiplayer, you're going to be able to have your 2v2, your 4v4, your free-for-all, and you can enable AI in multiplayer. So if Dan and I want to hop on and be on the same team and play against two AI players, you can completely do that. If the three of us are playing and we need a fourth, you can have an AI player come in for that. So it's very adaptable. And as I said before, there is some smart AI, so you can be challenged with it. I'm sure that all of you, though, can trounce even the most difficult AI after playing a couple times.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. Time will tell. Time will tell. It's not been programmed by Blake, so we'll have to see.
I've tried to play some online Civilization 4 Beyond the Sword with some of my own friends who say they're big Civilization players, and I wish that I were playing against the computer sometimes, because they just destroy me. You know, 1,000 years or so, I'm just holding on to that one last city, and it's a challenge.
I'm curious, when you say there are like five opponents available on single player, are there different map sizes, or is it all one map? Because with so few civs, I imagine there's not too much variation you can have.
The maps are done a little bit differently than civs in the past, and I'm going to put this off to the programmers to talk more about. But I have to say that the world does not feel too small or too big, and that they have balanced that really beautifully.
Okay, but there's not like in Civ 4, five or six different map sizes from tiny to huge.
No. The maps are randomly generated, but there isn't like the tiny map versus the absolutely ginormous one.
Yeah, with so few players compared to Civ 4 anyway, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from Viper 7, will there be an open play mode for custom rules, such as custom victory conditions, not allowing certain victory conditions, for example?
I'm not sure about custom rules. I know that there are several different victory conditions, and all of them are open, you know, the domination, the cultural, the economic, the science/technology victories. We also will be having scenarios, which I'm not sure if you've officially heard the word on that yet, but we will be having scenarios. I'm not sure if there's going to be an open play mode that is as customizable as you would imagine from Civilization IV, but there is that open play where, you know, you go and you face off against other people and you choose how you want to win.
Okay, cool. Any news on what kind of scenarios? Can you talk about that at this point?
I don't have the specific scenarios that they're going to be, but there are going to be them in the shipping game. I'm sure they're going to be awesome, and I'm sure as we get more finalized details about them, I'll be able to convey it to you guys. So stay tuned.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are interested in that. So a couple of months ago, your colleague Jason2K indicated that DS screenshots were not available yet because artwork had to be replaced. Are we any closer to seeing DS screenshots and maybe a DS-centered preview?
I was told on Friday that we just put out a whole bunch of DS screenshots. Our artwork is coming to being completely finalized, and the DS screenshots, I think, look really nice. You will be seeing DS-centered previews coming along from different sites in the future, because I think that it's one of those things that, of course, a DS is going to be a completely different playing experience than a 360 or a PS3. And even though the game is exactly the same across all three of those platforms, knowing how you play it and how it will look on the DS, I think, is important to people. So we're definitely going to be spending a lot of time talking about how the DS looks and feels and how you play it in the future.
Still on the DS for a bit, Dojo Boy had a question. He said, how will save games be managed, particularly in regard to downloadable content, such as the Game of the Week?
Jason had a very awesome answer for me that I'm going to botch. But there are multiple save games on the DS cart. So just so you guys all know, it's not going to be like you can only save one game at a time. You're going to be able to save multiple games. And the way the Game of the Week works is it's an upload. So after you play your game, you can upload the content. So you can upload your stats and replay the game over and over again until, you know, you get the ending that you're happy with and you get the best stats you can. So over the week, you can play it as many times as you want. I guess the answer to that question is because there are multiple saves, this shouldn't be a problem.
So you just upload the stats of your game, or you actually upload the game itself for checking?
You don't have to upload the game itself. You upload the stats when you're done with it. Again, the technical people who know a lot more about how this actually works should give you the more in-detail response to this. But it's an upload that, you know, compares against everyone else who's been uploading their information. So when you're done, your stats will be uploaded and compared against everyone on, you know, those Game of the Week leaderboards that we'll have.
Dennis Shirk of Firaxis indicated last November that a demo for Revolutions was coming in spring 2008. Can you give us any more details about that, including on what platforms it will be available?
Yes, the demo is coming, so you guys will all be able to get your hands on some Civilization Revolution before it actually comes out. It's coming out for the 360 and the PS3. I don't know how many more details we have right now, but I know there definitely will be a demo for everyone to try out.
Okay, I was wondering in terms of like limitations of the demo, would you be restricted to certain levels of play or only be able to play to, say, a certain turn? Or
I'm not completely sure about that yet. I think we're probably still discussing the best ways to do that or if they've already decided. I don't know yet, but I know it's going to be a pretty nice slice of Civilization Revolution, so you can really get into how the game feels and what it's all about.
Okay.
So the release date is still just spring. You don't have any details yet.
Yeah, no exact date yet. Soon. We'll be screaming it from the rooftops.
Discover new technologies that will take your civilization from the dawn of man to the space age.
So looking at multiplayer now, more specifically, can you run through all of the multiplayer options for us? In particular, there have been some conflicting reports and interpretations on what will be offered, particularly when it comes to Hot Seat. Many previews are saying no, but you, 2K, is saying yes. Jason 2K said that last November.
Well, obviously, a lot of things change while you're producing a game. There will be the free-for-all mode in multiplayer. There will not be Hot Seat anymore. Mostly, we were just trying to get the best experience and, you know, have the best balance. And Jason, again, will have a much more eloquent response to why there is no Hot Seat. But it's one of those things that when you're trying to focus on the most fun parts of the game and making it the best experience possible, you want to make sure you have your strongest parts. And Hot Seat was pretty much seen as, and through conferences and testing and all that stuff, something that we decided not to do. But there is the free-for-all play in multiplayer.
Ah, okay. Because I remember even in my own preview of Civilization Revolution, people were asking about that, and I was saying no, and then when I saw Jason's answer, I believe his answer came after I was at Firaxis, so I thought, uh-oh, now I'm out of date, so I thought, I'll ask you, so...
Yes, yes. Jason said that there was going to be a Hot Seat for a while, or it was in the planning stages or something, but in the end, it's not going to be there. But we're going to have, of course, a free-for-all.
This is a question from Unorthodox. I understand there's several multiplayer options on the DS. Multiplayer where one person needs the game, but you both need to be in close proximity. Multiplayer where both or all need the game, but you both need to be in close proximity, or multiplayer over a Wi-Fi connection. Which ones will CivRev utilize on a DS?
The DS for multiplayer will have two different ways of playing. You can play it over Wi-Fi, which is connecting on the internet to either friends or strangers to match up. And you can also play locally, which is people playing all in the same room. When you are playing all in the same room, you guys will all need to own a copy of the game. Just because of how much data and how in-depth this game is, it's not the kind of game that you can have one cart and everybody plays off of that one cart. But you can play both over the internet and both locally. All the different kinds of multiplayer that we've already discussed.
Just out of curiosity, how many community managers are at 2K?
Just me.
Oh, just you? Oh.
I think we're adding a sports one soon.
Oh, no wonder you have 16-hour days. Now looking at modding, answered the first part of this already, which was the decision made on scenarios, and that yes, there will be scenarios. There wouldn't also not be a level editor due to resources required in scheduling limits. So does no level editor mean, say, a no world builder or XML or an SDK a la Civ 4, or?
Again, this is something that the other people will be able to elaborate on and make you guys much happier. But there won't be a level editor, and there's not going to be a world builder. When I talked to Jason, he said, you know, this is a very different game, built a very different way than Civilization 4. So really having this work and having people use it because, you know, it's on the DS or the console didn't really make sense. But, of course, we are going to have the scenarios as the first part of the sentence says.
Okay, so no world builder strategy for Dan and CivRev. I won't hurt the messenger, Elizabeth. I won't hurt the messenger.
Thank you. Luckily, I don't, for my own personal podcast, I don't have to do the editing. I can just do the jabbering.
Oh, so you're in Boater's shoes then. I don't like either of you.
We move on to some more general industry-related questions. What's it like to be a woman in the game industry, which is so dominated by men, both on the side of the developers and publishers and on the side of the community? Do you feel you get treated differently, or that you have to prove yourself more? Earlier this month, an I Have a Crush on 2K Elizabeth thread popped up on the off-topic forums for Bioshock. That's more exception than rule, right?
I have to say, I think that there are many more women coming into the gaming industry, both developer and publisher side. And as time goes on, I think that you're going to see a lot more gamer girls and gamers in this industry. I think it's like any industry where eventually it will even out, depending on genre. I think that I'm not treated differently. I've never felt, at least from the developer publisher side, I've never felt being a woman changes anything. And I don't feel like I have to prove myself anymore. I think that it's a very equal playing field right now. And I've never actually felt that being a woman really changes anything about my job. And stuff like the I have a crush on 2K Elizabeth, which made me giggle. That kind of stuff pops up sometimes, you know. I've gotten a couple thank you packages and teddy bears in my day. But I would like to say that although maybe they wouldn't be teddy bears, that male or female, a community manager would get that kind of thanks from the fans for job well done or excitement. And I have to say that Ken Levine, who is the creative director of BioShock, also got a teddy bear. And he's definitely a man. So I want to say that that's not because I'm a girl.
I don't know if it was in that thread on the crush thread. I think it was where you linked to a couple locations where one could find pictures of you, and one individual posted his picture and said, "So this is me. If you like, PM me." So that's the
I think, I mean, my BioShock family is, you know, I know most of them pretty well now, and so I think most of them are pretty tongue-in-cheek. They might be excited about, you know, being able to talk to a knowledgeable girl who doesn't hate games, because I know the stereotype of the girlfriends or, you know, the people who always want to pull you off the console or off the PC. But as I said, I think that in reality, more and more women will prove to not be that way. How many pink DSs have you seen around? And they're not being carried by boys, by and large.
As you were saying that, I was thinking about one particular user on our forums whose handle is My Wife Hates Civ, which many have cited this. One of everyone's all-time favorites, so.
Well, my boyfriend hates Civ. And it's not that he hates Civ, he hates the, you know, those all-night sessions where I'm like, no, we're not going out, I'm finishing this game.
So I guess we'll soon be seeing a registration for My Boyfriend Hates Civ, My Husband Hates Civ.
My boyfriend left me because of Civ.
So do you think online gaming communities are too male-dominated? Would they benefit from a larger female contingent than the larger female contingent that we're getting? Or what would be needed to realize that?
I don't know whether you need things that are specifically marketed towards girls. I think there are probably games that girls feel that they will be less good at. Some weird stereotype about, you know, first-person shooters being male-dominated or something like that. But again, as I said before, I think those stereotypes are going away. I know a lot of girls on a Counter-Strike server or a Team Fortress 2 server who can kick the ass of the guys. I think that, again, females, as they reach out and get into this world, because video games are just becoming so much more prevalent in society and this culture, and they're more mainstream and universally accepted, that the larger female contingent will come to all these kinds of communities naturally. As girls play it more, you will see the girls who are amazing and girls that are, you know, just average, and it will even out with the whole gamut of male players that are anywhere from so-so to amazing.
Or those who are less than so-so to amazing.
What advice would you give women specifically, or anyone in general for that matter, to break into the game industry as a career?
That's a good question. I think I'm going to answer this question for everyone across the board. I think that having a love for games and a healthy respect for the industry and a healthy respect for the publisher or developer you're looking to be hired by is crucial. I always respected 2K, which is why it was so amazing to work for them. And, you know, even after those 16-hour days, I'm still really happy because there's pretty much nowhere else in the world I would rather be than at my company doing my job. And that's not marketing speak. It's really a joy to work here. I think that to break into the industry, you want to have a good background. I don't think that you necessarily have to go and major in, you know, video game design or go to one of those video game schools. If you want to be a programmer, do a lot of programming, know a lot of languages, play around making mods for games that you're interested in or building small games yourself. Make yourself a portfolio. If that means that you go and you program for company X that has nothing to do with games for a while you work on your dream, go for it. You know, just keep your eye on the prize. If you're looking to get into being an artist, you know, again, work on concept art for other things. If you can get into that into some sort of related field, just keep trying to build your resume, build your portfolio, and in your spare time, you know, practice to get better. I don't think that you have to specifically major video game concept art or anything like that to get into the industry. I think it's about passion and quality of work, and no matter what your subject is, those looking at your work will recognize that.
Earlier this month, you got to travel to Firaxis Games' office in Hunt Valley, Maryland for a whole week to meet the CivRev development team. How was that experience, and what are your thoughts on the game so far?
Luckily, when I got there, they said, do you want us to set you up with an Xbox so you can play some of the game? And luckily, I got to say, you know, no, I have one in my office. I know all about the game. I'm a huge Civ player, so they were excited about that. It was a great experience. It's an enormous office, so many people. I didn't get to meet a lot of the people for very long because, as I said, they're working very hard and very long hours to make the game as perfect as possible. But it was a really great experience. I think that developers, programmers, they're all such friendly and fun people. I love traveling to their offices because it just feels like this little home away from home, this very tight-knit community. I really enjoy that feeling, and they're so accepting of me, you know, jumping in, never having met them before, just being there for a week. You really get to learn a lot, both personally and professionally.
So in that week, what did you do specifically? Did you just meet with people? Did you play the game? What did you do exactly?
We were actually working on a couple projects that you'll be seeing in the future. I was gathering a lot of assets. It's often easier for me to go and pick everyone's brains for the updates that I want for my community site, which should be up soon. Also working on, as I said, podcasts and stuff like that. There was some hands-on with the game, but also just, you know, meeting with the team and hammering out my entire community plan and letting them know and giving me feedback. Scheduling all the fun stuff for you guys.
Cool.
Woohoo! So in case anyone missed that, the names of those other games were Hope you got that. Call in today.
In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 441-218-7659. That's 441-218-POLY.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at polycast@polton.net.
For more information on Polycast, log on to the series' official website at polycast.polyton.net. Moving on to some miscellaneous questions. In one of your first posts on Polyton, you indicated you've been reading the site for a long time. How and when did you find us, and any particular reason you didn't register before?
I do not have a double login. I was not posting before. I found you guys because I was reading strategies. Civilization 3, for some reason, was kind of difficult for me, which is when I found your site. So I was trying to find strategy. A lot of your guys' strategy made my head hurt because it was so in-depth. And I kept reading it, especially when Beyond the Sword came out, because that has such a different feeling and gives so much more to the game that it's always good to read what other people who love the game are doing and how they play it and what they think is the best way to be. But no, I didn't register because I always felt that I had nothing worthwhile to add, that you guys had so much already covered that I was just happy reading and, you know, leeching all of your knowledge.
Back to podcasting, you're involved in a joint venture of your own about gaming in general, and mentioned a little earlier, with a tone that's different than in your communications as a 2K community manager, I understand. Tell us a little bit about this show and where we can find it online.
Ugh, you guys are embarrassing me. The podcast is called Played. It's playedpodcast.com. It's me and two of my friends, Mark and Chris, just basically gabbing about games and video game news. Chris is actually the editor-in-chief of a gaming news website. We all got together, gosh, I guess it was last year. Maybe it was 2006. I don't know. It was a while ago. Just, you know, talk about games. There weren't very many informal, just normal people-related podcasts out there. Mark doesn't work in the industry. When I started, I didn't work in the industry. Just our opinions about games coming from three very different people. As I said recently, our podcasts have been very sporadic. We're going to try and get back into that. I must say that I'm the main reason that we don't podcast that often because I'm never around. So it's basically me just talking as me and them heckling me a lot. And that's how you can find it if you really want to go looking.
If I recall correctly, I think you guys started in October 2006. First episode came out.
Oh, jeez. I guess.
The same month the first episode of Polycast came out. That's a little scary.
Oh, wow. I'm sure you guys have way more episodes. I think we only have like 30 or something. We used to do it once a week, but now I feel like we're lucky once a month.
Well, we used to be bi-weekly. So pretty much the same in episode number. You guys are at 32, I see now. The last one was released just last week, I see. 2 weeks ago. Maybe you weren't on that.
Oh, yes. No, that...
You're only a couple of numbers behind us.
Okay, I'll try and catch up.
Well, we're weekly now, so it's going to be harder.
Yeah, we split in a way. We've got two podcasts now.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, we've got Polycast for strategy and Modcast for modding, so...
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, right. Yeah. I'm not a modder. No way.
Like you'd have time.
I guess I could do it at work. It's work, right?
I guess, if you work at 2K.
You mentioned at the time that you started the Play podcast that you weren't working in the industry. Where were you working before the 2K community manager position?
I'm not going to obviously name the company, but I was working at, it was a health-related website, as the email marketing manager. I was revamping their email to customers and redoing their website and redoing their community, which is one of the reasons why when Jason saw that the community manager position was being created, kind of yoinked me from that job. So I do have a background in writing, marketing, community.com, internet-related goodness. The reason why Mark picked me for the Played podcast is because on this gaming website that I go to, just in my spare time, I was a very outspoken female, and he wanted a female voice to round out his crowd. So he shot me an email, and I was like, okay, that sounds like fun. Let's do that.
Have you listened to Polycast in the past, and would you like to appear again in the future?
Yes, I would love to appear again in the future. You know, hopefully a little bit down the line when I have some more fun and interesting stuff to talk to you about. I have listened to Polycast in the past. I think, didn't you guys have a segment that was about girl gaming at some point?
Yeah.
Either
yep.
Christmas, was that?
Yes, our Girls Playing Civ Christmas special.
Yes. I listened to that. There was one several months ago. I can't remember what. It's kind of embarrassing to say. I don't listen to podcasts regularly between talking on them all the time. And when I'm home, I'm not usually listening to something. I'm usually trying to read a book or stay away from the computer. So I'm not a huge podcast person, but I really did like your girl gaming segment. So I give a big thumbs up cool. to that.
Woohoo!
You weren't the only one, but still good to hear.
Yeah. And Elizabeth is now going to tell us that part of her revised New Year's resolution is to listen to Polycast more. All right, well, thank you.
Yes, definitely, for sure.
So is there anything about Civ Rev or otherwise you want to touch upon that we haven't already?
I'm just going to advise people to hopefully visit your sites in the coming months because I'm hoping to partner with you guys to get you guys some cool information. And also, I hope that you guys announce when my official site comes up so that you guys can all hear what Civilization's really about and be able to get your hands on some more juicy, meaty updates so you can really get your informed decisions, love or hate Civ Revolution right now. I'm sure you're going to hear a lot more about it in the coming months so that you can form, hopefully, a positive opinion of it.
Have you been reading my Civ Rev preview? You knew I was probably going to ask that question.
Yes. Of course. I know I can't get all of it, but I try and read everything that's being said about Civilization Revolution, good, bad, or otherwise, just so I know also where to go with my future stuff. You know, if somebody says, I don't think Civilization Revolution is going to have this, I need to go confirm, deny, give more opinions about that. So any kind of preview, official or unofficial, whether it's just a line in the forums or, you know, something robust like what you write up, it's always good because that's what I have to base all of my work on. So keep doing it.
For one free month of a Polton Plus, what's the name of the latest part of my preview?
Oh, gosh. Are you quizzing me?
Well, see, this is a bit of a trick question, which I will reveal once you answer it.
Oh, I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer.
Well, that's okay, because you already have the advantages of Polton Plus, because you're with 2K, so... It really wouldn't be any more than you already had, but that's okay. That's okay. It's encounters.
I just saw it. I was just about to tell you because I just loaded up your site.
Exactly, so they died.
Well, everyone who is quizzing themselves listening to this, you can give yourself a check mark if you got it right, or you can give yourself an X, like Elizabeth and Mutter just had to do.
Aww.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you very much for taking the time to appear on Polycast to answer our number of questions.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was really a lot of fun, and I'll definitely, hopefully, be back to talk to you about this more.
I know we've been talking about CivRev, but just briefly on Civ 4, someone said in a certain forums that their favorite Civ 4 unit was a spy because they are sneaky bastards. Who said that?
Oh, gosh. You're putting me on the spot here. I don't know. I remember seeing that, though.
That would be you.
It was me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so embarrassed.
No, that's okay.
I have to say that I think that horsemen are my favorite units this week.
Oh.
Maybe knights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hi there.
Hey, Elizabeth.
It says here in the question that it has to be 15 seconds or less. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that elevator pitch, but civilization.
That's why I left it off. I think it's your turn, man.
Oh yeah, that's right. See, awkward silence. It's cut in post production. And I do see that the next question is a duplicate. Whoops.
It's okay.
Would you like to answer it again? No, I'm just kidding.
You guys are embarrassing me. I'm stuttering now.
The server is being slow, then. I have to look into that.
That would be the hundreds of thousands of people logging onto the site every day. What are you talking?
Of course.
We've been doing so well not to have too many awkward silences, but at the end of the conversation, it's like, should I go now? I don't know.
You will not simply experience history. You will make it. Sid Meier's Civilization Revolution.
Record date January 27th, 2008. Soundtrack courtesy Civilization 4, Warlords Beyond the Sword and Civilization Revolution. Copyright 2008, Bolton Civilization site at bolton.net.